let me just kind of highlight a few reasons why we should talk about this. I think it's kind of easy to make the case, but let's talk about it nonetheless. Some of the reasons to think about evangelism and counseling. One is it really helps you find clarity of someone's spiritual condition. You don't know how to minister to someone unless you know where they are spiritually. Are they spiritually alive or are they spiritually dead? That changes how you talk to someone. The question we get a lot is, you know, how do you counsel someone if they're not a believer? The answer is evangelism. You counsel them to place their faith and trust in Christ as our Lord and Savior. Now, there's some caveats to that coming up, but it is definitely the answer. The reality is, someone who does not know the Lord is not going to receive wisdom from God's Word like someone who does. 1 Corinthians 2:14 is clear on that. A natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. So on the one hand, we know, okay, they're not going to understand this if they do not know him as Lord and Savior. They're not going to be able to apply it to their lives. But on the other hand, you know, Romans 10:17 is true that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So I'm still going to use the Word of God either way, but it helps me to know where their spiritual condition is. So you want to know if they have new life in Christ, to know if they're able to obey God's Word. And if not, you share the gospel. Another reason to think about it is it's a great commission. It's our marching orders, you know. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I command you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So go, and sometimes that going is when you're meeting someone in the midst of their hurt and their difficulty, and you're going to want to share the good news with them. Another good passage is Ephesians 3:8-10. And when Paul talks about, to me, the very least of all saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ. And he saw it as a privilege to share the unfathomable riches of Christ and to bring light, that is the administration of the mystery, which has for ages been hidden in God who created all things, so that the manifold wisdom of God might be made known through the church to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly places. So our job is to make known the manifold wisdom of God and to share the unfathomable riches of Christ with those God has placed around us. So it's part of the Great Commission that applies when you're doing counseling as well. And something that helps me think about it is that gospel truths motivate gospel commands. And again, if someone's going to be motivated to obey Scripture, what's the basis of their motivation? If not the gospel, that they have eternal life. A fancy way of saying it is gospel indicatives, something that's indicative or something that's true, you know, motivates gospel imperatives, gospel commands. And you always want to put those two together. And evangelism reminds you gospel truths need to be the motivation. And I need to make sure the foundation is laid so when we talk about applying God's Word to your life, I'm not frustrating someone who is not able to spiritually appraise these things, for sure. And again, another passage that talks about the motivation is, I have been crucified with Christ. That's the gospel. I was not actually there. I did not actually was on the cross with him. But Scripture says, I have been crucified with Christ. I'm in union with him. If I've trusted the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, then in fact, it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. The life I now live in the flesh, it's not no longer I who live. My life needs to be different. We don't live for ourselves, but for him who died and rose for him. The same thing is said in 2 Corinthians 5:14 as well as Galatians 2:20. But my point here in talking about these passages is don't ever assume the gospel. Don't ever assume the gospel. We have an intake form where a person can check, are you saved? Check yes. Now, when they say no, that is very, very helpful. I mean, it's like, okay, I think I know how I'm going to be talking about someone in their spiritual condition. If someone puts a question mark there or if someone says yes, I don't want to assume because they checked a box, they understand the good news of Christ and they've trusted in his death, a burial and resurrection is their only hope of salvation. So you want to take your time to make sure the gospel is clear, to make sure someone's spiritual condition is clear so you can lay the foundation for motivation of growth and change. Now, let's just talk about some of the challenges. Challenges. People come in with different expectations to be helped. Very rarely does someone come in when their marriage is falling apart and come in and just say to you, you know, I don't honor God with my life, and I'm a rebel and a sinner who just is walking away from God. It rarely comes off like that. It's more like, fix my wife, or my husband is a loser. That is the focus of the discussion oftentimes. So they're coming in with expectations different than, I'm a sinner in need of a Savior, and I need to be rescued from the wrath of God. They're not coming in with that expectation. And you want to serve them for the reason that they are there. But you know their greatest need is Jesus. And so you have to balance that. They might want you to fix their marriage, reunite with them with their child, their rebellious teenager, or solve their financial woes. So they come in with those expectations of, I want tips, I want a plan, I want a process to make things better. And then you realize this person's not a Christian, and they have these expectations over here of life change, and you're like, I am concerned about your eternal life. There's going to be a challenge there. Balance is needed. You need to get to know them and build involvement. Again, we talk about this in track one. We think about it as though the counselee is thinking to themselves, can I trust you? And can you help me? Can I trust you? Can you help me? Can I trust you? Can you help me? And obviously, we believe our best resource is Jesus. But we also want to be considerate of, does this person understand that this is going to actually be a blessing to their life? Good. Or are they just going to go right over their head? So you might feel you only have one shot to tell someone about Jesus. And I felt that way at times. Someone has come in and I'm like, I don't know if they're going to come back. I kind of lay out the process and I just don't think they're really interested in this. I want to make sure that I tell them about Jesus. I might have this one shot with them. And don't be afraid to take that. But I also tend to go gravitate towards, I'm going to entrust this person to the Lord, and I want to be faithful to make sure that I clearly articulate the gospel and don't just go too quickly. What I do that helps me is I ask, what are your expectations for me? What are your expectations for this process? And if they say, I don't have any, I have no, and oftentimes that's the answer, then I kind of have like, you know what, I think I'm going to be a little bit more direct here. Because he doesn't have any expectations, I have a little bit more free rein there. If they say, well, I want you to help me communicate better with my wife. Very clear. I know what you expect, and that's great. I believe the Bible has answers for that. I believe Jesus is the ultimate answer, but I need to talk to you about communication. If I lay out the gospel beautifully, and I talk about Jesus' wonderful atoning sacrifice for sin and his invitation for him to trust him as Lord and Savior. But his expectation is help me in my communication with my wife. And I never talk about that at all. What are the odds he's going to come back? It's kind of like, you didn't really even listen to me. You talked about Jesus. I want to talk to my wife better. And ultimately, we believe that's the solution, but you need to balance that well. So don't be surprised if you don't connect the gospel to why they are there so that you can share the gospel more effectively. And again, you want to, whatever you do, you want to apply Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So if you say, Lord, I don't know if this person is going to come back. I need to make sure they hear the truth of the gospel. Do it by faith. If you say, Lord, I want to build on this. I want to make sure I understand the habit and pattern of their life so I can understand the pattern of sin and rebellion and then clearly articulate back to them. You think these trends are a result of not having Christ as your Lord and Savior? Then do that by faith as well. Some more challenges are different backgrounds and beliefs. Some people have been treated very poorly by people who identify themselves as Christians or religious. And one spouse might be an unbeliever. And so I have very oftentimes done a counseling session where it's discipleship and evangelism. Like same, like unbeliever and a believer, and he's coming and he's an unbeliever, or she's coming and she's an unbeliever, and they have very different views of that. Family impact. This happens a lot. When you share the gospel with someone, you talk about ultimately a heaven to be gained and a hell to be shunned. and the fact that Jesus came to save you so you would not spend eternity in hell.